Okay, let's begin. So this is our third class in the power of the ceremonial community. It's a very, very important class. We're remembering what ceremony and a ceremonial community means for our life. And it's one of those things that you wonder, how did I ever live without this? It brings such a depth of meaning and companionship and support on the subtle levels, on the field that surrounds us, that holds us, that brings us into relationship with all the living energies. And the conditioning that opposes that is so strong, and we're slowly breaking it down. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that it shows up in our weekly classes, but I'm hoping that it shows up in your daily life somehow. More of a willingness to ask for help, a deeper feeling of safety within you. Less of a need to do everything on your own, the raise yourself up by your bootstraps, and maybe an openness to alternative and more creative ways of viewing your life, your choices, and how you move through life. So we start shifting how we move through life when we feel safer, when we can count on support. And whether that's from the people around us or from the subtle realm, or both, because they do have an interaction. It seems that when you can sense the support in the subtle realm, it actually opens up opportunities on the life level where more support could come in. It can affect how you speak, how your energy feels to other people. How you gather to you more of what you need, and you're able to speak up for more of what you need. There's that whole dynamic that begins to open up in a new way. So, not just in our circle. There was a very nice energy, a grounded energy entering the circle tonight. So thank you for preparing. But subtly making waves and ripples through our daily life. So I'm wondering if anyone would like to comment on that and share a little of what they might be noticing. And you know, I can sit here and wait as long as it takes. So, someone jump in.
This is Mark. I can sense that in myself now. I feel more willing to seek support, especially with the sacred circle when I'm starting to feel pretty dense. Starting back up at the garden and looking more in terms of a group there that can support some of the benefits to the garden and some of the programming there. I feel a little bit more of a sense of presence and trust. I've always been one who's been very planful, over-planful, and that's starting to release. So there's not this sense of everything has to be in this didactic order that I have for events. So I'm feeling more of trusting that that they will get support and that they will also flourish without having to have that sense of pre-dread that I used to get a lot of times when doing these events.
How nice. How nice. How about someone else?
There's more of an ease throughout my days, and I'm finding in connection with the living energies more throughout the day. And then when I'm not, I feel the tension and the nervousness. And in fact, I caught myself today before I started to prepare for the call, and I was rushing, and I was like, wait a minute. So I just paused and regrounded and still got done what I wanted to get done. It just felt so much more enjoyable and relaxing to do it that way.
See, it's these little expressions that show that something is really penetrating all the way through the personality to your being here.
Yeah, and I'm realizing how much I live my life that way, and now when I go back into it, it's just so off-putting, and I catch it pretty quickly, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then, like, I literally was doing laundry and trying to rush, and I just stood in front of the washing machine and just grounded and just relaxed, and it all flowed so much easier.
Isn't that nice? And say hi to your washing machine when you're standing there.
Of course, I
No,
do. She's wonderful.
go ahead. They know that you're there. So wonderful.
Sir, this is Char.
Uh-huh.
That those little moments all day, setting the table, gratitude for the forks coming out of the dishwasher, these little ceremonies, I am noticing more and more and more throughout every day, and it's their rituals that happen every day. You empty the dishwasher after you take the dog out. These little ceremonies are so precious, and I become more grateful every day for remembering that it is a ceremony.
It begins to make all of life sacred, doesn't it?
Yes, every moment. Yes.
Thank you.
It's Ken. I'm seeing the sacredness in every communication I have, whether it seems deep or frivolous or sacred or not. It's all sacred. So all my communications are, I'm aware of my communications and actions when I'm out in public. And making them meaningful, no matter what they are. And just, actually, as I think about it, people are responding to that. There's a connection formed with strangers when, whatever it might be, an interaction with them, checkout counter, opening a door, whatever. There seems to be more of a connection.
Beautiful.
This is Laurie. I've been really blessed in my life with, I'll say sacred circles. Something is really different now, and I'm continuing to understand what that is. Some of what's coming up for me as we're talking tonight is, I think that I have gotten more in touch with what holds me back from being my true authentic self, my higher being in the world every day. And this. Even though I've had these circles in the past, there's something different in me. And so what we're doing here, like the importance is even greater for me because it's supporting more courage in me to know that it's okay, that the fears that can come up, which could be, I mean, we've talked about this a lot over the last year for sure. So we know what they are. We all shared them at one point, and but I'm feeling them even more, just becoming more clear about, oh, I actually really am afraid of that. And having the sacred circle is like a it's a safety, you know. It's a okay, I'm not alone. We're doing this together. And it's okay. So, and that does change, like everything that everybody's been talking about, being more present to the sacredness of absolutely everything that we do in our life. When I am more aligned within myself, that happens naturally. But if I'm holding back somehow, whether it's afraid of rejection or being afraid of rejection, or whether it's being afraid of being too much and, you know, blowing somebody out, there's all kinds of reasons. And yeah, so I hope that this is making sense. It's kind of a raw experience right now.
Can you say, Lori, a little bit more of what you said about blowing people out?
That literally just came up for me today. Well, I think that what I don't usually think about that. I don't usually worry about that. And so I have a close friend who does really beautiful work with people, and we did a trade, and he feels confident in his capacity to hold whatever somebody has. But when he had a session with me, something happened to him. I don't have the clarity, and it wasn't right after the session, but today in my meditation, I was like, oh no, what if I let too much of my creative, you know, divine feminine energy flow? And he got sick. And so that's where that came from. It literally is a new thought for me, and I don't even know that that is what happened. There's really no reason for me to believe that that what happened. I am in the process of checking it out, but that's where that came from. Does that make sense?
And so it brings up a whole area of wait a minute, a whole area of how much do you hold back of yourself? How much do you modulate according to another person? And is there a way of being tuned in? Hold on 1 second, I have to cough again. A way of being tuned in so that you're able to fully express yourself without thinking of the other person first, and express yourself in a way that doesn't, quote, blow them out. This is what a lot of people are working with.
That's so interesting, because I feel like I've actually prided myself a bit on being able to meet, you know, what I would have said, meet people where they are. But through this experience, I thought, am I modulating too much? And then I thought, oh gosh, I guess I still need to, you know, so I'm in some confusion about it, you know, how to do exactly what you just said.
And I'm just kind of fleshing it out, bringing it up as something to contemplate and work with. No, there's no direct answer right now, but I wanted to acknowledge, and especially, again, I can speak for women, that we usually use our energy more on behalf of another person rather than ourselves, and hesitate to show up in our full power. And there is a way of being grounded so that your energy is really circulating, you're in your toroidal field, that allows anyone, male, female, to speak their truth while having a field that is complete and whole and conveys wholeness to those around you without controlling them, monitoring them, feeling overly responsible. So if you're in your flow and your field and in a balanced flow, and your wholeness is what is radiating, connected to Mother Earth, Father Sun, then there's the possibility of expressing your fullness and not feeling responsible for the other person's response. And this really gets back to each person being responsible for their own self-regulation. And it's upon each person to speak up if they're feeling uncomfortable or something's too much for them, in the way of collaborating rather than competing, and in the new earth style, this understanding that each person is responsible for self-regulation. It's a new concept for many people, probably for most people, but it's important to contemplate that viewpoint. So when I contemplate that each person is responsible for their own self-regulation, that is what we're growing into for humanity. And that is the platform, the energetic matrix that has been set in place. than it has. It's a little hard for me to kind of stay in me and not reach out in my conditioned woman way to take care of the other person and to trust that they will take care of themselves. It's a huge area that we're dealing with right now. So I just wanted it to come out so that if that is in the background of your being, for those who are here, that you're not alone with that. And we're working on it. And it's not just a psychological or emotional process. It's a very deep spiritual process with each person coming into their sovereignty. And that's a big transition from where we've been.
This has been really huge for me over the last year, because I can have a big energy, and I think I could certainly be too much for people, and I wasn't grounded a lot of the time when I was doing that. And so what I've learned is that when I'm in a grounded place, whether it's a written communication or a verbal communication, that when I know I'm grounded, or if it's a written communication, I have the beautiful luxury of writing it and then saying, is this a grounded communication? And if it is, I feel confident sending it. And if the guidance says it's not, I can reconstruct it. But then once I send it, I feel great about it. Because I used to fear, how are they going to interpret it? What are they going to do? Are they going to be upset with me? What's going to happen? And I don't do that anymore. And it's really beautiful.
Taking the pause and re looking at it and continuing to ground it and ground it. That's what we need to do these days. So wonderful.
I think as I was listening to you and really feeling it, I was noticing that I think for me, there's a little bit of a distinction between it's not as hard for me to do it kind of in daily life, to be, you know, kind of grounded, to be aware of being within myself. It might be harder when I'm in a helping role. So whether it's a client or an adult child who comes to me or, you know, and there is, there is a role that I'm playing to support someone in what they're working with, what they're working through. And I work obviously to stay very grounded and within myself. But depending on what I see and what I, the way in which I will convey, you know, like what I'm seeing, what I'm getting. And again, this has actually not been an issue for me in the past. But I've been very careful. And I'm wondering, you know, if in the process of not taking responsibility for the way that someone might receive it, as long as I'm grounded, right? As long as, you know, I pause, I just am feeling into the possibility that I don't have to work as hard, which would be lovely, you know?
And you take into account how the person is coming to you. So has I mean, and I think I've expressed this before. When I started my practice, I set a criteria for myself that I wanted people who were engaged in their own healing. I didn't want someone who wanted to lay down on a table and be worked on passively. And so that is an important criteria if that's something you want. Because if someone comes to you, whether as a friend or a professional client, how do you bring them about to a point where they're not just seeking answers or relief without being engaged in their own process, without being present to their own being? So how do you approach the interaction, starting with your needs and your criteria? Because that will make it clearer how to approach a situation. So if you can identify right away that someone's coming just for answers or to lean on you or to suck energy from you or, you know, find relief, then you approach it in one way. If you're working with someone who comes with some kind of sense of their own, I must be hitting on something important, because I start coughing when this people are choking on this. So it's we're bringing this up for awareness and contemplation. Who else is choking on this, getting triggered by it?
This is Ananda. Yeah, I'm kind of reverberating over. It's kind of a lot of things. Part of it is I'm often more acutely aware of what people around me are feeling than I am of what I'm feeling. I'm also, it seems, it would seem rude to be just expressing myself without taking into consideration the setting, the place, the atmosphere, the vibe. Yeah, it and part of this, okay, as an empath, I'm always sort of feeling out there. But to even Sarah, like when you remind people to start speaking softly because the circle is in a sensitive place, that's a reminder to be aware of how is your expression going to land.
This is the broader approach. So we tend to get into black and white or either or thinking, which is fairly trauma based, rather than inclusive, including yourself and into the wholeness of being. So when something seems rude by not considering the other person or the other people, is there a sense of either or, black and white? Or is there a sense of the sphere of the field of that interaction being guided by, let's say, a higher intelligence because you're connected with Mother Earth and Father Sun and the spirit of the land. And how, when you speak from that, it's inclusive of yourself and whoever you're with. Another way of saying it might be that you're more in the deeper heart, the connected universal love that includes you and the other people in a grounded way. And so there's no sense of me, you, black, white, but we're all responding to a greater intelligence and a greater field.
If I want to be heard, I'm not just, blowing off who I am. If I want to be heard, I'm constantly feeling out how to express that so that it can be heard by the other person. And I just go back to, yeah, I mean, we're united with all. It's not just toward the one. And so to not be taking into account the timing, the atmosphere, the aura, the mood, the energy of people around you when you're interacting with them. I'm kind of choking on that one.
So, contemplate this. Contemplate what I've offered. There's a lot of conditioning in that, in your perspective. And there's a higher frequency that is more, I would say, more healing, more in harmony without picking apart the parts. And when I want to be heard, I want to make sure that I'm the first person that hears myself, which sets up a different kind of frequency. I'm not going out to be heard. I'm hearing myself and acknowledging my own feelings, my own needs, my desire to be heard, and coming into resonance with that so that there's no pressure put on the other person, no demand to be heard. And if the conversation's not going well, I'll pull back and pull myself out of it and come back to myself and say, am I really hearing myself for what I need and what I want to express? And then come back. So let that sit. And how did that land with anyone else?
It's Tracy. Well, it's such an interesting topic because, as was taking everybody's thoughts and expressions in, I was thinking about that, and it makes me think of, like, you kind of start to contort yourself, and that doesn't seem like you're being authentically you. So it really is that dance of showing up in your truth. feeling safe to do so. And as you said, Sarah, expressing yourself as you feel genuinely, you want to express yourself and what it is that you truly want to convey. Without kind of trying to fit yourself into a mold of what you think would come across as a correct response or something. Yes, it's a very delicate dance.
It is, and we're learning it. We're learning it.
Sarah, Lisa, here. I was very touched by your statement just before when you said you hear yourself clearly say it so that there's no demand for it to be heard. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And our demand to be heard is, I mean, it's cultural. And I can sense even the subtlest ways where that occurs. So I really receive that very deeply. Thank you.
That was very powerful for me as well, what Lisa shared. And I guess I realized as you were saying it or afterwards that I find myself doing that. And if it's something I need to hear and I convey it the way I need to hear it, so a lot of times I don't need to share it with anyone else, which I think is really beautiful.
It is. And then if the opportunity occurs, which very often that creates the opportunity, whether it's then or later, then it really sets the stage for the communication to happen.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I've been feeling that as well. It's beautiful.
This is really moving a lot of heavy energy around, which is good. It's bringing some deep conditioning out of the background and into circulation as I watch the circle here. It's really embedded conditioning. Actually, it's pretty stinky. It's got a stinky smell to it. So we'll let that air out, even if you don't recognize that there's something activated in this. Okay, anyone else?
I just want to say that piece was incredibly important for me as well. And, in my life, I've had such a need to be seen, heard, understood. And I've been working for years to, not make another responsible for my feeling that way, seen, heard, understood. But something happened when you said what you said. It like took me to the next level somehow energetically. Like it feels, because I had the concept already, but I don't know. So I'm really grateful because I feel like I just received like additional capacity to be able to pause, like you said, and say, okay, am I hearing myself, hearing myself, seeing myself, understanding myself. Can I attend? Can I, really be present and then see what happens? And I could feel that, I know that's true, that it opens the space up that you don't even need it anymore. But then all of a sudden the space is open and you get it, you have an opportunity, or I would have an opportunity. So thank you for saying what you did.
Thank you for instigating that conversation. So, there's a couple other levels here that we're working with. The deeper conditioning, the overall conditioning of what I like to say, the last 5,000 years. And what's opening up as the shift has occurred and the activation of a whole new matrix of being is happening. So when we gather in our circle, and we are in our circle now, we really are, even though I haven't led a circle invocation, we are in it. There's an action and a healing occurring on that deep, deep level of feeling alone, abandoned here on earth in a body, and being able to begin opening to the multidimensional realms of our consciousness, where we actually feel like we live in a circle of intelligence that is just not limited to 3D. And that's the even broader ceremonial exercise going on here, that we're receiving a lot of help from the illuminated beings to help unearth that, to free it up. It's so deep. It's really hard without help from beyond to free this up. And so that word of help from beyond is where a wall occurs subconsciously from the conditioning, and where we bump into that, I have to do it all on my own, and the fear of opening up to your multidimensional self when others around you are not aware of it. Those are very deep-rooted, conditioned limitations. Because once we can open up to our multidimensional self, it's more than just being able to regulate our nervous systems. It's knowing these relationships with ourself, our multidimensional self, and with the non-physical world that brings us into a community that truly does exist, and from which we feel the loss of that. That somehow we know we're supposed to have this community and have this support. And having a community that is not limited to 3D, but can interface with it. And not in a linear way. You can't think of this in a linear way. Gives access to a flow of dimensions that brings us into a wholeness that we never knew we had. And wholeness is the only word right now. I mean, they're so inter spiraling, you know, like the toroidal field. It's not linear, it's inter spiraling within itself. And there's so much flow and availability that it takes us on the physical level out of the either or thinking and into possibility. Into possibilities we couldn't even imagine. I mean, the other day, Ken and I were talking, and I was talking about something, and he was able to bring up another possibility that, like, because I was thinking in a black and white terms and looking at it from fear base, and he just opened it up, and I was just so grateful to get unlocked from that black and white thinking and fear-based thinking. And I was really grateful that he was able to just bring in the fresh air. And we don't realize how locked in we are. And that it really is trauma-based that we get locked into this.
Sarah, when you used the word help from beyond too, my first response was the old response of somebody from the other side I pray to and they're going to help me versus that universal oneness where there's a flow and there's an openness and, a grounding that's so deep. And so retooling and defusing that those old images of help from beyond. I know that's one of the things that I need to look at.
Thank you for bringing that up. You know, because in a backward way, we've been taught to pray to those beings beyond, you know, the saints and the religious ideals. And in a backhanded way, it disempowers us. It makes us believe that there's these beings that have this all-encompassing power and that we don't have it. It doesn't include us.
Yeah, I meant that what you're saying, the whole hierarchical thing, it gets into that kind of like, there's someone who's much better than me and that's who I got to go to.
Right, right. And so that's part of this conditioning that's being broken up. Yeah, there's a good tilling of the soil here.
Sarah, this is Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
What I was experiencing through this was I've just had this ever-present old pattern of neediness that's been up around the full moon and all of that. And, you know, using all my tools, and it just the pattern hasn't broken. And so as we were in this conversation, what I noticed is just asking for my heart to be tended to by Mother Earth and all the beings, and just a comfort and a knowing. And it's really made a shift. And it feels like a doorway for me.
Wonderful. So as we're sitting here, just casually greet Mother Earth. Very, very casually, and see how it feels. Feel your feet, your seat. Easily, not with pressure, just ease with ease. There we go. And with the joy. And relax into it. And notice the part that wants to work at it. And maybe you notice your seat, maybe you notice your calves. You have enough experience with this to do it with ease. It may not be in a perfect, what you think is a perfect order, but you're just easing into it. And you might feel your sinuses start to clear, or your shoulders relaxing, and yeah, with ease. And so, from my perspective, the circle is getting brighter and brighter. The axis is forming, the roots are growing into the earth, the light beings are here, flowing light into us and the sphere that we're in. And they're always there. We're always actually grounded. We're always connected to Mother Earth. We're always connected to Father Sun. But the heavy energies from the conditioning prevent us from knowing this. And so every time we make an effort, we create more heavy energy, just like Russell said when he relaxed into what he was doing, or Char said, Ken said, just being present with ease. Everyone who's here has been doing this long enough that you could start entertaining this idea of, hey, I know how to do this. And maybe I can do it with more ease and with more seamlessness and flow in the moments that allow us to remember throughout a day and tonight. And there's a little more going on with the calf muscles, a little more going on with the tailbone. A little more going on with the feet, gently easing into it. And as we're doing this, the axis is getting stronger, the toroidal field is getting brighter. And I'm describing it so that maybe you have a reference point for what you can notice, either within yourself or in the field. There's a sweetness You really do know how to do this. Just sink a little deeper into the lower abdomen. See if you can sense your inner smile. Can some of you sense that inner smile? You can speak.
Sarah. Marianne here. And yes, I could speak, to the inner smile. And it's when I feel the connection between the sun and myself, my center, and Mother Earth. And then when I look at all the different shades of green, and I have an inner smile, it makes me smile because it's so beautiful. And that kind of feeling. And it's nourishing to stop and pay attention.
It is.
So, some wonderful comments and very, very supportive comments from everyone. So pleased I was able to get on.
Me too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can anyone else notice their sweet inner smile just maybe surfacing a bit?
I can feel the sweetness. I cannot yet resonate with that smile, but I feel a sweetness of frequency.
Does the sweetness make you smile?
It's peaceful. It's soothing. It doesn't make me smile, but it feels wonderful.
You have a smile in your voice, Lisa.
Well, you made me do that. Kidding. No, it's not unhappy, but I guess I just...
You know what? Look more subtly. Feel it more subtly. Not like you would normally associate that smile, but it is affiliated with that peace.
It's light. It's very, very light. And it's very airy. Not floaty, but light, just... There is a happy quality. That smile is tough.
I think you're like equating that smile with something else. Let's open it up to maybe something quieter, deeper. It's like you have a preconceived idea of what a smile should feel like.
I really must, because I'm at a stalemate
Okay.
within. But thank you. I will ponder that.
Okay.
Thank you.
There, it's Krishna. I absolutely feel the smile, so much so that I am physically smiling. So
Oh.
it happens a lot when I get to this point. So yes, I feel the smile.
You're a happy Buddha.
Well, it feels wonderful.
Good. Yeah. Okay, let's sink into this a little more. Maybe there's more physical sensation of release and a perking up of your cells, or a harmonizing of your body a little more. A flow, gentleness. And from my viewpoint, again, watching the whole circle, there's this beautiful waterfall of light pouring down through the center of the circle and flowing into each being here and bringing us into a beautiful flow together. Very subtle, very quiet, not dramatic. We're actually releasing the drama and shifting the nervous system. But on multiple levels, not just the physical nervous system. Maybe you feel your angel wings popping out. Maybe you're sinking deeper into the earth. Maybe you sense more light in your being or lightness. And maybe you can discern where there's some heavy energy where you couldn't discern before. And that's okay. Discernment is important, and we allow it to happen in ease with it, so that the light can flow into it and start to break it up. And then there's another layer, another realm of illuminated beings that are entering the circle right now. And the job of these beings is to, we use the word extraction very often in energy work, and they're able to pinpoint areas and open them up and draw out or extract solidified current and ancient heavy energies. Could be lineage energies, past life energies, non-physical energies. And they have the ability to take those, draw them out, and offer them back to the light for transmutation. And that's what's going on right now. And we had some of that last week. And being at ease reveals this and attracts this level of healing. So it's a type of energetic surgery, you could say. It's very ceremonial. Some of it is extracted and goes to Mother Earth, some goes to Father Sun. It's all transmuted. And on an energetic level, sometimes it's very funny to me what I see. Like I see myself having opened an area that area was open that looks like just pure vomit coming from my belly area going into the earth. And when I say sometimes that you really don't want to see what's happening on the subtle levels, it's not always that beautiful what's happening. And then after the extraction occurs, then there's a even higher frequency, soothing, loving light that circulates through us, through the circle. And so this brings the area that was that had the extraction. It's kind of like sewing, being sewn up after surgery. It soothes and fills the area with high frequency energy, sealing any wound and bringing it into a high frequency state. And each person is recreated anew once this is fully completed, as it is being right now. Because you are no longer carrying that deep unconscious or conscious heavy energy. And you may or may not realize it now, but you will eventually see the result of it in your being. And now the whole circle is tuning to a higher frequency. Coming into harmony. And there is a completion point, which just happened. And so we express our gratitude and our love for the multi-dimensional realms that make up our being, make up our consciousness. We recognize that we are loved and supported, and that sometimes that support needs to have preparation needs to come into a certain ceremonial state before it can happen. And that ceremony can be by yourself or with a group. It's a state of being. And don't apply 3D thinking to it. Two different worlds. And there's a blessing. We're all being blessed. That was quite a ceremony, and I want to point out that it was approached through ease. Feel your seat and feet. Gently, be at ease with yourself. Feel your breath. Open your eyes. Does anyone have anything they need to say, express, share? So I look forward to seeing your comments this week. And we were very blessed tonight. So thank you for gathering your beautiful hearts together tonight. And many blessings.